The Gospel of Mark, the chapter 5. I don't want to draw your attention tonight to the portion that we read together, but just to bring it back with freshness to your mind, we'll read the verses 35 and 36 again. We read there, "While he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." In these words, we're introduced to a man by the name of Jairus. Being a gifted and charismatic figure, he was elected to one of the most honored positions within the city. As leader of the synagogue, one of his duties was to warn the people of dangerous heresies. He hearing of the Savior and foolishly thinking that his teachings were heretical, he was required to speak against him. Just when everything seemed to be going so well in his life, his world then began to cave in around him. His daughter becoming ill, he being a man of means, he no doubt summoned the best of doctors. However, she growing weaker with every passing day, he suddenly remembered how that the Lord had opened the eyes of the blind and how he had made the lame to walk. And knowing that he alone could heal her, he found himself in the worst of all positions. How could he go to the Lord for help when he had warned the people to stay clear of him? His love for his daughter fighting against his pride. He knew that if he sought the Lord, that he might lose his position in the synagogue. More than that, the people may turn against him. And yet realizing that the Savior was his daughter's only hope, he cast aside his pride. He put her welfare before his own position. And more than that, he put her welfare before his own popularity. You see, tonight your soul well-being is more important than your position, and it is more important than your popularity. Indeed, failing to realize this, we read concerning Felix in Acts 24 in the verse 27. Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound for the sake of applause that lasted only for a little time. He kept Paul in prison. In so doing, he was rejecting the message of the gospel. You see, foolish is he who sells that which is permanent for that which is passing. Better to lose popularity. Better to lose every position that you have ever had than to lose your soul for time and eternity. I remember some years ago having mice in an old outshed. And so I thought I'd sort the mice out, and I got myself some poison. And I put the poison down in the shed. When I went out the next morning, the poison was all gone. And so I thought, that's good. I went and got some more poison, and I put some more poison down that night. When I went back the next day, it also was gone. You know, that poison was very popular, but I had no more bother with mice. And that thing may be popular, and it may be popular to reject Christ, but my friend, it's not the right thing to do, and it's not the wise thing to do. I wonder tonight, is that what's stopping you coming to Christ? You're afraid tonight if you accept the Lord, you'll lose your position. Perhaps you're afraid tonight that you will lose your popularity. My friend, better to lose your position, better to lose your popularity, better to lose anything and everything rather than to lose your soul. And I urge you tonight, put your soul first. My friend, make sure that you don't lose your soul. And so I want tonight to draw your attention to this man's daughter. I want you to notice firstly here the attack on the Savior. The crowd pushing in around him. They blocked his path. He then stopping to heal the woman with an issue of blood. Messengers coming from Jairus' house, they once again blocked his path. They stepping forward, you notice here that they attacked his strength. Out of breath and sweating, we read in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther?" Falling before Jairus, they brought the worst of all news. They said, "Thy daughter is dead." Her body now was lifeless. The eyes which once had danced with life and joy were now cold and glazed. And as if that was not bad enough, they then added, "Why troublest thou the master any farther?" In other words, they felt that the young girl was now beyond the Savior's help. They were questioning the Savior's power to raise her from the dead. You see, the devil not only attacks the Savior's position, but he attacks the Savior's power. He seeks to put a doubt in the mind in regard to his ability to deliver the soul. Indeed, on another occasion, the devil taking control of a young lad, he made his life miserable. He took him, he cast him into the water, and he cast him into the fire. His father's heart being broken, he coming before the Lord and setting the case before him, he said in Mark 9:22, "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." You notice there the words, "if thou canst do anything." There was in this man's a doubt in regard to the Savior's ability to deliver his son. And challenging him, the Lord taking up his words, "if thou canst," he then said, "if thou canst believe." In other words, he was indicating to this man that the if lay not with him, the Lord, but it lay with the man, the lad's father. You see, the devil is a master of cunning. He seeks to place in the mind a doubt, not only concerning the Savior's existence, but his energy to save. The great Puritan Thomas Brooks said, "Water is stronger than earth. Fire is stronger than water. Angels are stronger than man. And God is stronger than them all." Has God not already delivered the worst of all cases? Speaking to the Corinthians, Paul reminded them that some of them had been thieves. They had stolen other men's goods. Others of them were adulterers. They had stolen other men's wives. Others were fornicators, and some sinking down into the depths, they were sodomites. However, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that they were washed through the blood of Christ. You see, he is mighty, mighty to save. Maybe you're saying tonight, "Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save, but my case is too difficult." That's exactly what these messengers were saying. They were saying if this girl was still alive, then there may be hope. But now her case is too hard, it's too difficult, she is dead. But my friend, the Lord raised her up. You see, tonight the if lies not with God. It is not if. It is not if God can save you, but it is if you can believe. Oh, today he's mighty. He's mighty to save. He's able to reach to the depths and lift men in the tatters of sin and set them
in heavenly places. But they not only attacked his strength, you notice also they attacked his sayings, refusing to slack his pace. The Lord coming into this man's home, he said in verse 39 and 40, "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn." The Lord interrupting their doleful music and crocodile tears, he told them that the girl was not dead, but she was merely sleeping. And by these words, he was not here denying that her heart had stopped, but he was merely indicating that she would not remain under the power of death. As a man who falls asleep eventually rises in the morning, so her death would not be permanent. And hearing his words, these individuals, they burst into laughter. They began to mock the Savior and ridicule his words. And why the devil often quotes the word of God, he only does so in order to query it. He questions its veracity. Indeed, seeking to destroy Eve, we read in Genesis 3, verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Now, his words here stand in contrast to the words of the Lord in the previous chapter when he said, "Thou shalt die." What was the devil doing here? He was putting a question mark over the word of the Lord. You see, if the devil can stop you reading the Bible, he will then ridicule the Bible. He will place doubts in your mind concerning its value and concerning its veracity. You know, we're told in Acts chapter 9 in the verse 7 that those with Paul on the road to Damascus, they heard a voice. However, when we go into Acts chapter 22, we are told there they heard not the voice of him. And the devil coming, he taking up these words, he says, "There you are." You see, the Bible is not true. The Bible is full of contradictions. But why the Bible may seem at times to contradict, yet go into the Greek and you'll discover that why the word in Acts 9 means to hear a sound, the word in Acts chapter 22 means to be able to understand. You see, they heard a voice, but they couldn't understand it. And I tell you, the devil will come and the devil will seek to put doubts into your heart, into your mind concerning the word of God. Why? Because, my friend, he knows that within this book there is a treasure, and he doesn't want you to get that treasure. Oh, tonight, he mocks the Bible. Just go out into society. Men laugh at the Bible. They ridicule the Bible. They heap derision and scorn upon it. But it doesn't change the fact that it's truth. Oh, tonight, don't let the devil rob you of this book. Now, they attacked his sayings. More than that, they attacked his sympathy. Coming before Jairus, we read in verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther?" Knowing the young girl was so ill, Jairus no doubt had expected the Lord to rise up and to come to his home immediately. Instead, stopping with the woman taken with the issue of blood, he healed her. And seeing him now talking to her, the servant stating that the young girl was dead, he said, "Why troublest thou the master?" It was as if he was saying to this man, "Leave the Lord alone. Don't you see he doesn't really care about your daughter? Don't you see that he's not really interested in her? He let her die. He let her die." And the devil cannot get you to question the Savior's words. He will seek to get you to question his love. He'll place a doubt over it. Indeed, the Lord seeking to answer accusations of desertion. We read in Isaiah 50, verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you?" Though there was no evidence that the Lord had left him, here was the old devil and coming and whispering in their ear. He said, "God doesn't care about you. God has cast you off." You see, the devil coming, he not only attacks the Savior's power, he attacks the Savior's passion. He seeks to make out that God does not really care. I'm sure you've often heard people say, if God is a God of love, then why does God allow war? But let me remind you tonight, it's not God who starts wars. It is man in their hatred and bitterness that starts wars. You say, but then why does God not intervene and stop the war? But my friend, if God was to intervene in your life and take away your freedom to do your sin, would you not be the first to accuse him of interfering and taking away your liberty? You see, God is a God of love. And I know the devil will come tonight, and the devil will whisper in your ear, and he will say, the Lord doesn't really care about you. He's not interested about you. Look at the life that you've lived. Look at the things you've done. Look at the places where you've been. But my friend, I say to you tonight, don't believe the devil's lie. He is able to save you. He is able tonight to lift you out of your sin. His word is true. But I think as we look at these words, not only do we see the attack on the Savior, but I want you to notice, secondly, there was the assurance by the Savior. Hearing of death's victory in this young girl's life, a change suddenly passed over her father. From the Savior's words, "Be not afraid," we see it launched 1,000 fears in his heart. And seeking to comfort him, the Lord, now stepping in, he assured him. He assured him that death could not hinder him. We read verse 36, "And as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." When we go back into verse 23, we find that Jairus coming to the Lord, his demand had been very, very specific. He had asked the Lord to lay his hand upon his daughter. However, the situation has now changed. She was no longer ill, but rather she was dead. And under the ceremonial law, not only was the dead body designated to be unclean, but anyone who came into contact with that body was also rendered unclean. And fearing lest the Lord would no longer want to touch her, the Lord said to him, "Be not afraid." You see, rather than unwillingness, there's nothing but willingness in the heart of Christ. Despite every obstacle, he longs to make you whole. Did he not say there in John chapter 6, verse 37, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise or in no circumstances cast out." He said, if only you come, there's no circumstances that I will not receive you. The men of Gadara drove legion out of their towns. But what did Jesus do? He received them and he redeemed them. Rather than expelling, Christ embraces all that come to him. He turns none away. St. Cross Hospital near Winchester used to give bread to everyone who would come and knock the door. Coming to the door, Charles Haddon Spurgeon knocked as bold and brass, and he said, "Why should I not?" He could not have been classed as someone who was in need. However, he said it was for all. He said there was no qualification. And he said, knocking the door, he said, I received. And my friend, you do not deserve God's forgiveness. But if you knock, the Lord will not turn you away. And maybe you're afraid tonight. You're afraid tonight you've gone too far. You are afraid tonight that you perhaps committed the unpardonable sin. But listen, the very fact that you're still concerned about your soul is an indication that the Spirit of God has not left you. And the Lord says to you tonight, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come to me. Come to me, and I will save you. Not only could death not hinder him, delay could not hinder him. Look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Believing where there is life, there is hope. Jairus had rushed to the Savior. However, being delayed by the woman with an issue of blood, he had lost precious, precious time. And the servant now bringing news that she was dead, he's saying, troublest thou the master no more. He doubt or he feared it was too late. And Jairus thinking, if only I had come a little earlier. If only I had come a little earlier, my daughter might live. And the Lord turned to him and said, do not be afraid. And while it is late, it is yet not too late. There's still grace available. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And while warning here of the danger of delay, yet he reminded them it was still the day of salvation. While the day is late, yet it's still the day of grace. The door of opportunity is still open. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans had many gods. They had gods of wars, gods of cities, gods of love, gods of agriculture. But what they didn't have a God of hope. And while you have often in the past rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and while some believers may tremble and fear that you have missed the day of grace, I want to tell you tonight, there is still hope. And the Lord comes to you tonight, and he says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. It's not too late. It's not too late. Also notice derision could not hinder him coming into the home. We read verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, mocking, they had sought to hinder the Savior. The phrase put them all out literally could be read to throw out. And they unable to resist his power, he cast them all out. Christ is able to cast out every hindrance, breaking their power to set you free. And wonder tonight, what is it that's holding you back? What is it that's hindering you? If only you come, look to Christ, he'll break its power. He'll cast away those hindering things. He will set you free. Now here was this man. His world collapsed around him. It's too late, echoed in his heart. But the Lord said, don't be afraid. There's still hope. There's still hope. This is the day of grace. He's able to set you free. Then lastly, I want you to notice here the answer of the Savior. Seeing his fears, the Lord turned to him and said, believe. Notice here, faith. This faith was paramount. Look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. The word only here is elsewhere translated in the New Testament 21 times as alone. And while Jairus possessed great riches, yet the Lord was telling him here, Jairus, those things, they're not necessary. All that is required, Jairus, is faith, and faith alone. Salvation is through faith alone, in Christ alone. Your words, your works are not required. Did Paul not say, writing to the Ephesians, not of works lest any man should boast? You know, some people, and they come to the Lord and they get down before the Lord, they recognize they're sinners, they recognize that they're in danger, and they lift their voices and they cry, Lord, I believe. But they don't stop there. And they go on to say, but Lord, you know I'm a good person. You see, they imagine that salvation is faith plus their goodness, faith plus their good works. It's by faith alone. And until you come to that place that you recognize that all your works, all your churchianity, all your charity is but a broken crutch, and you lean on Christ and Christ alone, there is no hope. There is no hope. Oh, if only you believe, you will be saved. Faith not only was my paramount, but it was powerful. Look at verse 42. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. Believing, she immediately rose and she walked. The word translated walking is in the imperfect, which denotes a continuous action. Walking, she then began to eat. You see, believing, the soul not only becomes alive, but in that moment it receives an appetite, and feasting on the Word of God, they will then begin to walk with God. And I tell you tonight, if only you trust Him, if only you trust Him, the Lord will give you an appetite. He'll give you a hunger for the Word of God. And to give you power to walk with Him and to pray. Oh, how full is God's salvation. I think the faith was also productive. Verse 43, and He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Becoming hungry, He commanded them to make a meal for her. And as well as providing for her needs, He then commanded them, tell no one what happened. Because if the news had got out, they would have hunted her down. And they would have ruined her life. You see, those whom the Lord raises to the newness of life, He not only provides for them, but He protects them. He shields them. The king of Abyssinia, on one occasion, took a British subject prisoner, and he imprisoned him in the fortress of Magdala. Within days, 10,000 British soldiers were sailing towards Magdala and tearing that fortress down stone by stone. They rescued him. The whole resources of the British government was deployed to rescue him. And if governments in the past took care of their citizens, how much more will God not take care of you? And yes, if you come to Him, the devil doesn't go away. The devil will come. But my friend, the Lord is able to protect you. The Lord is able to shield you. Here was a girl. What a change in her life was wrought. And I tell you tonight, Christ can make a greater change. He can give you He not only gives you physical life, but He's able to give you spiritual life. He's able to give you eternal life. He's able to raise you out of the grave of spiritual death, to give you a hunger for the book, and give you grace to walk with him. Can you imagine the joy? Can you just for a moment imagine the joy that must have been in that father's heart? What a day it was. His daughter was ill. He ran to the Lord. His hopes were lifted up. He got to the Lord. He managed to get the Lord to turn and to head towards his house. But then he was delayed. How his hopes must have sank down. And then the worst of all news. Your daughter is dead. But now, seeing her live, what joy. What joy would have filled his heart. And I tell you tonight, what joy. What joy would fill this preacher's heart. What joy would fill every believer's heart if you tonight were to come to Christ. He's able to raise you. He's able to change you. Oh, tonight, will you let him? Will you let him into your heart? Will you call upon him to be your Savior this very night? I trust you'll leave knowing his power, having experienced it in your own soul. Let us pray. Father in heaven,